You know, you can't put new wine in old wineskins. Because if you put new wine in old wineskin, the old wineskin's going to bust. And what we're singing about right now is that we want to be new wine. We want new wine. So in order for us to receive new wine, we've got to get rid of our old wineskins. Amen. Anything that would hinder us from the Lord being able to pour into us, because that's what we're seeing. We want new fire, new power, new fire. We want it. Amen. So, God, I'm asking you this morning that if any of us have any remnant of an old wineskin, anything that we're holding on to, whether it's a religious cow or whatever it may be, God, that you'd remove it, because we want fresh wine. We want new wine. We want new power. We want the fire of God in our life, Lord. So, God, pour your spirit out in this place. Pour your spirit out. Revival fires fall in this place, Lord. We love you. We need you. We need you to fulfill the call on our lives as individuals, and we need you in this place to fulfill the call that you have on this church. So, God, whatever it is that needs to be removed, whatever it is that needs to be started, brought in, God, show us. We need your help. Thank you for your anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. Thank you for your presence in this place. Lord, may we always seek your presence. God, I worship you and I love you. I thank you for the word you've given me this morning. I pray that we'd have ears to hear what you would have to say, the Spirit would have to say to the church. We honor you this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you guys. It was brought to my mind while I was worshiping about Steve Luckadoo's daughter. Please be in prayer for her. I forgot to mention her. I didn't write her name down. But Steve and Shirley's daughter, and pray for Shirley too. But her daughter's been having a rough go of it. So y'all pray that the Lord will heal her body in Jesus' name. Y'all ready? I want you, if you will, go to Proverbs. Y'all know where Proverbs is. Proverbs 27. And I'm going to start with verse 17. I was in a prison studying the other morning, and I was preparing this thinking I was going to share this with the men where we drove down to South Carolina Tuesday night. But, man, this is the word for our church this morning. Amen? This is the word for our church this morning. I want you to receive the word. Amen? I ain't going to make you raise your right hand and solemnly swear to receive the word, but I want you to receive the word of the Lord this morning, because this is some good stuff. All right. Y'all ready? All right, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Now, we break that word down, countenance, as the expression on your face, right? But it's deeper than that. It's deeper than that. As iron sharpens iron, a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. That means he supports his friend, encourages his friend, and changes the character of his friend. We are supposed to help each other. Iron sharpens iron. Well, I got news for you. When you sharpen iron, you put two pieces of metal together, iron together, and they sharpen it. And I'm going to tell you, when it gets going fast, it's called friction. Look at your neighbor and say, maybe you've been feeling some friction. Friction is leaning against each other, bearing against each other, pushing against each other, and maybe some sparks flying. Now, how many of y'all know if you've ever preached or you're getting a message ready, if you've ever been getting a message ready, if you've ever been studying for a Sunday school lesson or whatever, When you start studying, or even you just studying the Word, when you start studying, you'll start seeing things like, man, I ain't noticed that before. I ain't noticed that. So I got a couple little examples for you right quick, and then we're going to go in and get some more stuff. But yesterday, as me and Glenna was out front working on digging some holes and putting posts down and stuff, we've been trying to do some of this stuff ourselves instead of getting people to do it. So we was going to try to work together. And Glenna will admit, we don't work the best together. Because she wants it done right, and I want it done. But yesterday, I was doing my best to try to do it right. I even prayed, Lord, help me to do this right, because I know she wants it to look good, because what she does looks good. And so I'm out there, and I got in my mind what I think we need to do. Any of y'all, you men ever done that? You got in your mind, I got in my mind what I think I want to do. Well, she's got in her mind what she thinks we need to do. And what my mind said and what her mind said was two different things. Y'all ever have that happen? So what did I do? We get in a little argument, friction starts flying, and I grabbed the pole. I said, I'm done, and I'm going to walk off. Why y'all look at me like that? I grabbed the pole. I was going to walk off, and then I thought, man, this is stupid. Surely we can do this together. I said, come on, what do you want to do, babe? Tell me what you want to do. $50. I need some money to go to the beach on this weekend. Listen, I looked at her and I said, what do you want to do? Tell me what you want to do. And we worked together. Boy, there was friction flying. Heat. We were rubbing against each other. But let me read this definition to you. Iron sharpens iron through the process of friction. Sparks may fly. Amen? But listen to what it says. One piece in immediate contact with the other, leaning on or rubbing each other for the purpose of, now listen to this, improving both and sharpening each other. Not everybody that's in your life will sharpen you. Matter of fact, not everybody in your life cares if you're sharp or not. And this is not just talking about spiritual stuff. You can transfer this over into life. Josh, him and his dad was there last night, and I watched this, and they're going back and forth about cubic feet or something. I don't know. It was funny. I was just laughing at them, and they're going back and forth. Sparks flow a little bit. But they're working. You know what I'm saying? They're coming together, and they're wanting to make whatever they are, or whatever they're trying to do, the cubic feet, they was wanting to make it look good and make it right. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. I've had people to come into my office that maybe had a beef with me or something, or with the church, whatever, and we start talking, and I can get a little defensive because I defend the church. I love the church, right? I love the church. I love my family. Don't come in and talk about my family. As you know, I'm in a really good mood because I get real defensive over my family, okay? And that hadn't happened. Praise God that hadn't happened. I have never had anybody come into my office and talk about my family. And it's a good thing because there's a sword in there and a couple deer heads that you could poke people with. But for real. But there's times that people come in and the conversation starts and it may not be going really good at first. And there might be some friction. There might be a little bit of not agreeing with each other. But if we all work on it, if we all willing to listen, and it's for the better good of the church or for me or for them or whoever, then we will sharpen each other. And when we leave out of that office or leave out of a trustee meeting or leave out of a business meeting, we will all be better because we sharpened each other. Amen. Jesus sharpened people. Hallelujah. He rubbed people the wrong way. So I want you to go to John chapter 6. We're going to look at John chapter 6. And I want you to see what Jesus said to these disciples. Now, I want you to know this, that according to what I've studied, they was over there was 500 people listening to Jesus when he stood up and said this. So I want you to get this in your head. There's 500 people. And in chapter 6, verse 53, this is what Jesus said. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Wow. They thought he was talking, they thought he was freaking out, talking about cannibalism or something. That's what they thought. Because they was thinking carnal, they wasn't thinking spiritually. Verse 54, whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. I'm in. Amen. That's his promise. Look at verse 55. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in them. They had never heard anything like this before. We had the benefit of reading the scripture and everything, but I promise you, if we'd have been back there, if we wasn't spiritual, we'd have done the same thing a bunch of them did. Look at what he says. And the living Father, listen, and the living Father hath sent me, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which cometh down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna. They knew how all that worked. He said, not as your fathers have eat manna and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. He's saying, I am the bread of life, and I'm the only one that offers eternal life. But look at verse 59. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, now he was in the synagogue. He's in the church saying this, and they tripping. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Or who can live by this? And then he goes on and he says this. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples, not people that wasn't his disciples. When he knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? Oh, does this make sparks fly? Am I rubbing you the wrong way because I'm telling you the truth? Well, it's what he's saying. He said, does this offend you? This is the only way you're going to get to heaven. Do you want me to tell you? Do you want me to stop? Say, so many people I've had people in this church come to me and say, I come here because you preach the truth. I come here because I love it. You preach the truth. You don't sugarcoat it. You don't water it down. And then I'll preach against something that they don't like, and then they leave. And I'm like, I thought you wanted the truth. Well, I didn't till it affects me. They didn't say that, but that's what they said. We don't preach the truth because it affects you, because it don't affect you. We preach the truth because it's the truth. And if it affects you, and if it don't affect you, we're good. Amen? Hallelujah. Y'all ready? He said, if this offends you. And then verse 52, what and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? He's saying, boys, not too long from now, you're going to see me go back up to where I came from. Now, they're really tripping. You're saying we're going to eat your flesh and drink your blood. Now, you're going to fly up to heaven? We're going to see it? It is a spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. In other words, he says, what I'm speaking to you is spirit. It's not flesh, it's spirit. And you need to understand, but the Bible says that you can't understand, a carnal mind can't understand the spiritual things. Verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not. They said it was his disciples. Over 500 there was his disciples. What does it take to be a disciple? A disciple is a follower. So they were followers, but he's saying that some of you that don't believe. They did believe, but now they don't believe. I could preach on that for a week in the church. We're talking about old wineskins. There's a lot of old wineskins that's in the church. I shall not be moved. We want a spiritual awakening in our church. We want a move of God in our church. We've got to pray for a move of God in our church. We can't just step back and expect it to happen. We got old wineskins. We got old sour wine in there. I want some new wine. I don't want no sour wine. Amen. I ain't crossed the line yet. Y'all hang on. He said, but there's some of you that don't believe. He said, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore, listen to this. He said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto them by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. According to what Josephus and some said that was writing about this stuff, they said there was 500 disciples there. And when Jesus said this, 488 walked away. We judge a pastor and we judge churches by their membership, by how many people they had. That is so much malarkey. That is malarkey. Bull hockey, poop, whatever you want to call it, that's what it is. Amen. Some of you real country, I could give you a couple more words, but we're good. Y'all get the point. If you judge Jesus' ministry by how many people that stayed with him, then he was a failure. You preach the truth, there ain't a lot going to stay with you. Amen. Y'all ready? He said this, after it says that they walked away, some of them walked away from him, and then said Jesus unto the 12 that was standing there, will you also go away? Iron sharpens iron, boy. Sparks flying. People's leaving. People's getting upset. People's getting mad. What's going on here? What's wrong? Friction, that's what's wrong. Rubbing people the wrong way, people not getting their way, that's what's wrong. People not understanding what's taking place and they want to have control, that's what's wrong. And he said, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Who else has the words of eternal life, Lord? And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, we're convinced of that, we're sure of that. And Jesus answered him and said, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you are a devil? Friction. Friction. All right, you need to sit down because it's kind of distracting me a little bit. Thank you, sweetie. I get distracted real easy. I ain't calling nobody. I'm just saying I get distracted. I want to preach, and I'm good. Y'all good? Okay. Everybody's good. We good. Look. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. He was one of the disciples. He heard everything Jesus said, and he's the one that betrayed him. He was the son of perdition. Amen? Are y'all good? Now, I want you to go back to Proverbs, and I want you to go to 27, verse 6. Now, I know I went out of line, but I did it for a reason. 27, verse 6. Now look at what it says. Y'all sure y'all ready for this? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. If you study that out and break that down, what it means is, if you have a true friend that will speak truth to you in love, help you, correct you, disciple you, minister to you, but not just tell you what you want to hear, those wounds from a friend are going to be better for you. Because it says here, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. If somebody in your life, and you call them a friend, and they're always telling you what you want to hear, then that can be a kiss of the enemy. Because all of us like to be around people that encourage us and talk nice to us. Amen? Right? But they sometimes the Lord will put a friend in your life that will speak truth unto you, and you have to make a decision whether or not you're going to listen to that truth or not, whether or not you're going to get mad when the friction starts and the sparks start flying. What are you going to do then? Because listen, there's people that have rubbed me the wrong way. Amen? But in the long run, I could see that they were trying to benefit me. These people that rubbed me the wrong way, just trying to get underneath my skin, just trying to be a jerk. Me and them kind of people don't get along good. Amen? But these people that God puts in our life to speak truth to us because they love us, not because they're just trying to be mean. Look one more time. Watch this. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I wrote some things down. When you rub those two pieces of iron together, forging them and making the edge sharper and more efficient on both sides. That's what you're doing when you rub them together. When we come together as friends and iron sharpens iron and they may be a discussion and we're talking about something and we're rubbing each other and we may not like each other at the time, but we work our way through it, then guess what? You're sharper and I'm sharper. And we're more efficient. But guess what happens to those pieces of iron if they never rub together? You know what happens to those pieces of iron if they never rub together? If there's never any friction, if there's never any fussing, if there's never any disagreement? You got two dull pieces of iron that are good for nothing. They're dull, they're not sharp. I don't know who your friends are. Maybe you need to find something to sharpen you instead of dull you. Amen? I praise God for people that's put in my life to sharpen me. I don't want to be dull. You ever tried cutting wood with a dull axe? Or cutting with a dull, a chainsaw, with a dull chainsaw, you can't hardly cut. Filleting a fish with a dull knife is terrible. Nothing dull is any good. Not that I've found. Amen? I want to talk to you about something else. Years ago, I was on the worship team in Gastonia. This is years ago. And I'd been saved a couple years. I mean, I was on fire for the Lord. I was a little radical and, you know, I was a project, too. I was Pastor Bill and Shelly. Shelly was our choir director, but she's also our Sunday school teacher. And, boy, I learned more sitting underneath her than anybody ever. And so she began to talk to me, and we did this thing. Susie, what is it? The Charles Dickinson Singers that y'all do or something. What is it called? Charles Dickinson Carolers, right? We did that. We had the top hats and all. Yeah, I wore the top hat and a vest and a suit. I looked good, didn't I? Glenna made me look real good. I had hair, blue eyes, and she had a little pretty blue thing. Boy, I looked good. I was styling and profiling. And when they decided to put the two together, it was a man and two women, an alto and a soprano and then a tenor. I was a tenor. She put me with a lady that I did not want to be with. I did not want, and I wasn't going to be with her. Because when she sang, she did her mouth like this, and everybody looked at her. Bless her heart, she's a godly, godly woman, but I heck no to the double heck no. And when I found out that we were together, I went to Shelly, and I said, hey, we need to talk. She said, what's going on? I said, we need to change partners. She said, I prayed about it. That's who you're supposed to be with. I said, no, you didn't hear from the Lord. No way. No way did you hear from the Lord on this one. I trust you with all my heart, but on this one, you need to go back and fast a couple more days. You didn't hear right on this one. oh, yeah, that's who you're going to be with. And I said, nah, huh, I'm done. I ain't doing it. There ain't no way. I'm not doing it. She said, yes, you are. She said, because you got some rough edges, and they need to be rubbed off. So, let me talk to you about a pearl. I wrote this stuff down. I studied it out Tuesday at the prison. A pearl, listen, a pearl is a piece of grit or sand that finds its way into an oyster or a clam. Okay? As a defense mechanism, the oyster or the clam will put a coating to cover the sand or the grit so that it don't scratch it and irritate it. It starts out as something very irritating. And as this thing secretes this material called nacre, N-A-C-R-E, I think I'm pronouncing it right, as it secretes this material, this nacre material, it starts forming a circle around this sand or this piece of grit or whatever that's aggravating the snot out of the oyster. And so it decides it's going to do something about it. And so the rough edges begin to be rubbed off and taken away as it puts this coating around it. And finally, as it coats it so much, it becomes a pearl. Sometimes God has to put people in our life that will rough us up a little bit. Amen? Put somebody that will, God forbid, Lindsay, aggravate us a little bit. Get under our skin a little bit. Rub us the wrong way. Always saying something at the wrong time. Anybody feel me this morning? But God knows. And through that month or month and a half that I got to spend with that lady, I saw the sweetest, most precious woman of God that I probably, one of the ones I've probably ever met, that's so sweet, oozing love. And I'm old. That's why I started out. And now I love her. God knows what we need to make us a pearl. Some of you still got some lumps and bumps on you. We all do. We still get scuffed up some. Sometimes we need some more nacre or whatever that stuff is. I call nacre, by the way, Holy Ghost. And my life is Holy Ghost. Because he's the one that coats me and helps me. And if I'm any type of any pearl anytime, it's because of him, not me. I'm the grit and the sand. And Holy Ghost is that nacre that comes in and coats us. I had to preach right there. So I want you to inventory your friends. Not your acquaintances, your friends. Those people that you call your friends. You look and see if they tell you the truth. Look and see if they just tell you what you want to hear. I'm not telling you to kick your friends out, but I'm telling you, don't weed out everybody in your life that cause you issues. There's a person in my life that, boy, he's wanted to choke me so many times, and I've just wanted to hug him so many times. You know what I'm saying? That's a hug too, ain't it? We've been friction, boy. I mean, these times it's been friction. Ooh. I could call that man right now. I need you. He's here. Same with me. We've been knocked down drag outs. But he sharpened me. Dealing with him helped me deal with some of you. Oh, we're starting friction in here, ain't we? For real. So if you weed out everybody that you just don't like or feel comfortable around,
then you might be weeding out that precious friend that the Proverbs talks about that will help the wounds of a friend, that will help you be that pearl that God wants you to be. Nobody likes that. I don't. If you in here, you're glutton for punishment, praise God, you'd be a real good pearl right now. But I'm just telling you, don't weed out everybody that causes you problems. Don't leave this church just because friction flies in here or sparks fly because of friction. You get planted where God's got you and you stay. At work, God will let you know when you're supposed to leave. I've always told this, and Glenna can vouch for this. I've always said this to everybody. Don't ever leave a job unless God tells you to leave it. Don't ever leave a church unless God tells you to leave. Don't leave and then say, God, I pray you help me find something else. You best not do that because you get out of His will. You don't leave until He says go. I don't care if everybody else leaves. If I don't care if 488 leave. If you're one of the 12, then you stay until God says go. When He says go, get your tail out. Come and get a blessing. Amen? Well, that's good. Guess what? I'm going to let y'all beat the crowd this morning. Stand with me. I know some of y'all thinking, oh, Lord Jesus, please tell me I ain't going to have to go to Betty Sue and tell her I love her. She rubs me the wrong way all the time. She might be that thing that's rubbing all that mess off of you. Amen. Sometimes God's got a sense of humor. And sometimes He'll put us around folk that just get on our last nerve. And you know what? It might be that person that you end up falling in love with and saying, man, this is one of the best friends I've ever had in my life. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love You, and I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the truth of Your word. And I could have went through so many scriptures where, Jesus, You caused friction. I mean, you called them out. You called the religious people out. And those that listened to You were set free, and those that didn't, well, they're doomed. And God, You put Peter and Paul together, and boy, they had friction and sparks flying everywhere. But You brought them together, and in the end, God, they were used for Your glory. I just pray for those of us, Lord, that are dealing with people that cause us a little bit of friction. God, we'll realize that that's just, we need to be working together, and that friction sharpening us up. Because none of us have it all figured out. None of us have it all together. So, Lord, I'm just praying in Jesus' name that as You continue to move by Your Spirit, God, you will lead us and guide us and direct us. And, Lord, that we will take on whoever and whatever it is that You put upon us and allow us to go through, and that we won't skip out on the tough stuff and the hard stuff, but we will stay focused on You and allow You to minister to us. In Jesus' name, touch Your people, God. Touch Your people. Touch Your people right now, Lord. Those that have rough edges, may we be willing to let You move. God, those that don't like some situations they're in, but maybe You said all things work together for the good for those who love You, who are called according to Your purpose. Maybe this is Your purpose for them to go through this tough time, God, so that they can fulfill Your plan and be that pearl that You'd have them to be. Lord, I'm asking You if there's anyone in here that doesn't know You as Savior, if there's anyone in here, Lord, that is lost, God, I am asking You in Jesus' name that You would touch them, that You would save them today, Lord. Today is the day of salvation. We got plenty of time to pray with people. God, Holy Spirit, move. Whatever it is that You're illuminating to people, whatever it is, Holy Spirit, that You're wanting to do, in their life and in our life, God. Do it today. You might have Tommy to sing. You got some things you want to pray about? Just come and pray. There's some people that's rubbing you wrong and you need some grace so that you can give them grace. Come and pray. It's just rubbing the rough edges off of you. You're going to be all right. If you don't know Jesus, if you're in this room and you don't know Jesus, please, I beg you, with everything that's within me, come to the cross. Jesus has paid the price for you. He loves you. So come. Come and spend some time with the Lord if you need to do that. As the Spirit of the Lord moves to this place, let Him do whatever He wants to do. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus.
I need you.
By your Spirit, oh God.
To soften my heart.
Jesus,
to break me apart. I need you.
Jesus.
To open my eyes. And see that you're shaping my life. And all I am, I surrender. Give me faith to trust what you say, and that you're good. And your love is great. I'm broken inside. I give you my life. I need you to soften my heart. Break me apart. I need you to pierce through the dark and cleanse every part of me. And all I am, I surrender. Trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside. I give you my life. Give me faith, Lord. Give me faith. To trust what you say, and that you're good, and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. Cause I may be weak, but your Spirit's strong in me. And my flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. I may be weak, but your Spirit's strong in me. And my flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. I may be weak, your Spirit's strong in me. And my flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. I may be weak, but your Spirit's strong in me. And my flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. So give me faith to trust what you say, and that you're good, and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life, I give you my life.
Jesus, I just want you to listen to me for 1 minute. First of all, if you're in this room and you're under conviction, that's Holy Spirit drawing you to Him. That's just a love call, drawing you to Him. Every person in here that's saved had that happen. So don't think there's something wrong with you. It's Him loving you and saying, hey, I'm drawing you to me. Just listen to Him. Just listen to Him. You say, I don't know how to pray. Just talk to Him like you would your best friend, because that's what He is and that's what He wants to be if you'll allow Him. And just know that He truly does love you. You hadn't gone too far. You hadn't done too much. He loves you, and He wants to save you. If you're backslid, maybe you were serving the Lord, you was on fire with the Lord, maybe you're that old wineskin I'm talking about, then just go to the Lord. Just go to the Lord and say, look, please forgive me. Help me. Return to your first love. Stir up those gifts that's within you. You stir them up, and Holy Spirit will touch you. He said, if we draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh unto us. So please don't walk out of this room. Please don't walk out of this room the same way you came in. Allow Him to do whatever He wants to do. Father, I worship You and I love You and I give You praise. The worship, I give You praise for the word. I give You praise for the response, Lord. God, I'm asking You that each person, whether they came up here or not, each person has prayed, that's asked for help. Lord, each person that maybe if that's You in their heart, I pray, God, You make Yourself so real to them through Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is in us. So God, please move by Your Spirit. Help us, Lord, as we go out and as we're around our friends, may we speak truth in love, because we're that one that helps sharpen each other, and it works out for both of us. We both are better because of it. Don't let us be dull, Lord. Help us to sharpen each other. Help us to love each other. God, I pray again for those that are traveling back, that You keep them safe. For those that are having surgery this week, I pray that You'd heal their bodies and minister to them. And God, as we come back Wednesday night, may we come back expecting You to move and have testimonies of You using us this week, because You want us to go out and love those that others don't love, reach those that others deem unreachable, to equip the saints to do the work of the gospel and be found faithful when You come back. Lord, touch Israel. I believe these are just signs, growing pains, birthing pains, that You're coming back soon. We love You and we honor You. Our trust is in You, Lord. We don't trust anybody or anything else like we trust You. So we give You praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you. I love you. Don't forget about Wednesday night. If you haven't been coming on Wednesday nights, it's really good. We invite you to come. We'd love to have you. Alice.